Well, we're going to continue with a message that we were starting with last week. We actually told you that we were going to be doing the second part of this tonight, Lord willing, and we are going to move into that tonight. And we had been preaching about how our mission matters. And we've been going through a series on Sunday nights, and the title of that series is This Matters. And we've been talking about some things that ought to matter in our Christian life, and we've gone through many topics of discussion on Sunday nights about this subject of This Matters. And we talked about, we started off with our message matters, and certainly our message does matter. It's important, the message that we have to give out. And then we talked about our membership mattering, joining and becoming part of a local church, specifically ours is what we were talking about, joining up with our church. And then we were talking about how our music matters. A good example of some good music tonight, wasn't it? Praise the Lord. We were able to sing some hymns and then get to hear a great special there by Lainey, who did a tremendous job. And so thankful for the music that we have here and the way the Lord uses our talents for the Lord there. But we want to make sure we keep our music right and we keep it honoring to the Lord. And then we talked about how our ministry matters, what we do, what we're getting involved with when it comes to serving the Lord and how that matters. And then we talked about how our money matters. And that message was actually a springboard into our Faith Promise Missions Month that we had. We were talking about how important it is to use our money wisely and to give to the Lord and give to the work of missions as well. And then we were talking about how our motive matters. One day we'll get to stand before the Lord and we'll be either rewarded for what we did with the right motive or we'll suffer loss. And I don't know about you, but I don't want what I've done for Christ to burn up and to pass away. But instead, I'd like to be rewarded and hear Christ say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So our motive matters. And then our memorization matters. We talked about memorizing the Word of God and how important it was to commit verses to memory. And that's one of the reasons why we're doing what we're doing each month in here, trying to memorize Bible verses, our monthly verses we're trying to memorize and meditate on. And then we talked about how our mentoring matters. And we want to make sure we disciple people and help them as they grow in the Lord. We're all growing in the Lord, but we want to be used of God to help see others grow in the Lord as well. And then we talked about how our memorials matter. There have been times in your life where you could go back to perhaps special days that God has shown himself real in your life, certainly at salvation, where we could go back and say, "Hey, these are some memorials, and I need to make sure I remember them and keep them in the front of my mind." Brother Greg mentioned about how his spiritual birthdays this week, and Brother Bruce mentioned about his decision 58 years ago to trust Christ as his Savior. And so go back to those times in which we have memorials and God reminds us of those things. Those matter. And then we talked about how our marriage matters. We want to make sure we have godly marriages in this world that we live in. And then we talked about our mood or our attitude and how important it is to have the right kind of spirit and attitude as a church amongst one another and then in our personal lives, our walk with the Lord. And then we talked about how our mercy matters. We know that God is a God of mercy and grace, but we want to be Christians that extend mercy to other individuals as well, and to perhaps at times extend mercy to individuals and not give them what we may feel like they deserve, but to show mercy just like the Lord Jesus showed it to us. And then we talked about our mission matters. And we got to part number one, and I, as a springboard to this last week, I talked about how that a lot of ministries, perhaps maybe even businesses, may have something they would call a mission statement, where it's their purpose of why they're doing the things that they're doing. And so with our mission, why does our church exist? What are we trying to accomplish? And we talked about two things last week, and we're going to move on in this study tonight. But just to review, last week we said one of the missions of our church, number one last week we said, was to exalt the one true and living God. We talk about how he deserves our praise. He deserves our worship. It pleases him when we praise him and when we worship him. And so we ought to desire to lift him up and magnify him and glorify God. And we talked about how that this church that we're a part of was instituted by God. And so because it's something he instituted, because it's his plan for God's people, and he desires that we be a part of it, and it's dear to his heart, we ought to exalt the one true and living God. And we gave you areas in our service where we desire to exalt him in our singing and our giving and our fellowshipping and our preaching, our testimony time, even our invitation, when we call for a decision to be made at the end of the service, that we would exalt the one true and living God in our church. So if we would say, what's one of the purposes of why we're here? To exalt the one true and living God. And then we said number two last week, we said this, number two, to evangelize the world with the gospel. Number two, to evangelize the world with the gospel. And we talked about how that is a command that God gives us. And he gives it to every single one of us. And it's very important what we mentioned in the thought of a part of our purpose. We're evangelizing the world with the gospel. We want to give the gospel here in Boonesboro and Washington County where we're at, the state of Maryland, but we want to extend far past that, don't we? We want to evangelize the entire world. So God gives us blessings here, and we can evangelize folks here, and we can present the gospel here, but we want to do it around the world. And so we gave you two different ways in which our church can evangelize the entire world last week. We said this, number one, through our personal outreach. Through our personal outreach, we evangelize the world. Now, that's personally as we present the gospel to people, but it's also personally right here in the church as you serve the church, as you serve the Lord in the church. So when God gives you a place to serve in the church, that's an opportunity for you to evangelize the lost, to present the gospel to the lost as we serve the Lord in the ministries that our church has. Our church has a lot of ministry opportunities where we can evangelize the lost in this area. A lot of opportunities we have as far as our personal outreach is concerned. And we talked about this last Sunday night. We talked about how that if we're going to have an opportunity to personally outreach individuals, we're going to have to know the gospel and we're going to have to know how to share it. And so I encouraged you to make sure you commit the Romans Road to memory. Get those verses down in your mind and down in your heart so that you can share the gospel message and have a personal outreach and be prepared and be ready to share your faith when God gives you opportunities. Now, we said this, as far as our personal outreach is concerned, His presence is always going to be with us and His power is always going to be with us, but He desires that we take advantage of opportunities that He gives us to be as far as our personal outreach is concerned. But then, what's the other way that we're going to, as a church, evangelize the entire world through worldwide missions? Now, there are several ways we can evangelize the world through worldwide missions. Number one, we can be ready to go if God calls us. If God calls you to be a missionary, no matter what age you are, be ready to go where God calls you as far as a mission work that He may call you to. He may call you into a full-time place, maybe outside of the area we live now. That's one of the ways that we can be involved with worldwide missions. And then we can pray for missionaries, can't we? Every Wednesday night we have opportunity to read a missionary letter and we pray for the needs of those missionaries. Some specific ones we've been praying for lately is our missionary Phyllis Hall from Uganda and East Africa. We've been praying for Brother War, who's our missionary of the U.S. military, and Brother Navigator Gohm, who's our missionary, our national pastor there in Malawi, and the work that he is involved in. And so praying for missionaries. Our church supports 90 missionaries and national pastors. We want to pray for them. Another thing that we can do as far as in a worldwide missions way, we could take advantage of opportunities God gives us to encourage missionaries, maybe perhaps by letting them know you're praying for them, writing them a letter. We've had opportunities as a church to go on mission trips before where we could go to a place where a missionary is ministering, maybe perhaps even outside of our country, to go and be an encouragement and a blessing to missionaries that are away from us. We may not feel called to go there, but we could go there for a time or two and be able to encourage them. But one other way that every one of us can get involved in worldwide evangelism, and we talked about this last week, is to give. We can give. And that's why we have our Faith Promise Missions Giving. And I trust that you'll be a part of that so that you can be a part of worldwide evangelization. We want to evangelize the entire world. But here's number three tonight. And we left off with those two last week. Number three, another purpose of our church. Number three, number one, we want to exalt the one true and living God. Number two, we want to evangelize the world. But number three, we want to endear people to the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to endear people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that starts with introducing people to Jesus, doesn't it? We endear people to Jesus by introducing them to Him. We can think back to the day we were introduced to Jesus. To the day somebody shared the gospel message with you. And you realized God loved you, didn't you? And we love Him. We're endeared to Him because He first loved us. And the process of endearing people to the Lord Jesus Christ starts with introducing them to Him. And then we want them to grow in their love for Him. We want them to understand that Jesus Christ desires our love. We want to grow in our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what we have to understand about the local church is this. There is a reason why we want to endear ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, because there's a vital relationship between Christ and the church. As a matter of fact, we're going to see that from Matthew chapter 16, where you have your Bible open in just a minute. We're going to see that. There is a vital relationship between Christ and the church. So we could say it this way, and another way of saying it, we could say the local church and Christ are connected, aren't they? The local church and the Lord Jesus Christ are connected. A sincere Christian is not able to love Christ without loving the local church. You cannot say you love Christ without loving the local church. And then we're going to see why we make that statement here in just a little bit. But let's go about that a little bit different angle so that we understand both ways of that. A sincere Christian, we said, cannot love Christ without loving the local church. But I also believe it this way, a sincere Christian cannot love the local church without loving the Lord Jesus Christ. So we can't love Christ without loving the church, and we're not going to love the church without our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. They are connected. He created the church, and He created all that we have by His breath. He redeemed the church by His blood, and He empowers the church by His Holy Spirit. And so we know that the church is dear to the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's notice a couple things about endearing people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, we're going to see this in Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18, the first thing we want to see is this, that Jesus established the local church, didn't He? Jesus established the local church. What we mean by that is this, the church is built and founded on Jesus Christ, our Savior. Notice what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 16 and down at verse number 18. Matter of fact, let's go up to verse number 16. To be able to really understand what's happening here in this passage. Peter is speaking here in verse number 16. Now, I realize that as we go through this passage, there are some people that would interpret this passage a different way than what we're going to interpret it tonight. But we believe this verse is teaching us that Jesus established a church. It was built and founded upon Jesus Christ. So notice, even really up to verse number 15, it says, He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? So who do you say that I am, Jesus is saying. The Bible says in verse number 16, and Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What a testimony for his Savior, wasn't it? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Look at what's said in verse number 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, when Jesus is writing, or when we see the words of Jesus written down here in Matthew chapter number 16, we know that some have interpreted this passage in this way, that Jesus is referring to Peter. I'm building my church upon you, Peter. But we know that that is not what Jesus is saying here, is it? Instead, Jesus is instead saying that the confession or the declaration that Peter, you just made is what the church is being built on, the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He, Christ, is building the church on himself, isn't he? So if we were to go back in that verse, verse number 18, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, if we were to pause there at that word rock, that's Jesus, isn't it? Upon this rock, upon Jesus, upon the statement that you just made, that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, I am building my church. And he says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So number one, Jesus established the church. Now let's give a couple things that remind us of the fact that Jesus established it, really just by the names that are given for a church. And again, this goes back to one of our purposes of why we're meeting. We want to endear people to Jesus. We want to introduce them to him. We want them to grow in their love for him because we know he established the church. I want you to turn in your Bible, if you would, to Colossians chapter number 1. And I want us to look at some names that are given for the church here. Colossians chapter 1. And I want us to look at verse number 18. And the first thought we want to give about Jesus establishing the church is that the church in the Bible is referred to as a body. And guess who is the head? Jesus is the head, isn't he? So it wouldn't be in Matthew chapter 16, if we were to go back there, we wouldn't say that Peter is the head of the church, although some would believe it that way. Some would interpret it that way. Peter is not the head of the church. Jesus is the head, isn't he? So the church is referred to as a body, and Jesus is the head. Notice what the Bible says in Colossians chapter number 1, down at verse number 18. It says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And by the way, we're going to be coming back to that verse to give you another thought about the Lord Jesus Christ a little bit later. But notice what he says, he is the head of the body. Now, who's the head of the body? Who's he talking about here? Well, it's just as simple as looking back up in verse number 16. Look at what he says, by him, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist, and he is the head of the body. Who are we referring to here? It's Christ, isn't it? So the church is referred to as a body, and Christ is the head of that body. Would you look at Ephesians chapter 1, just a book back from where we were there, Ephesians, or book or two, I guess. Ephesians chapter number 1, and notice what the Bible says down at verse number 22. That Christ is the head of the church here. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 22, it says this, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his, notice this, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So what are we learning here from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23? Well, the church is a body, and Jesus Christ is the head of that body. Now, we're not going to take the time to do this because it's a very lengthy passage of Scripture. We wouldn't take the time to do it, but you might want to look at it later. If you were to go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, you would see that the church is actually compared to the human body. And the Bible starts to talk about the members of a church. And it begins to talk about the members of a church and comparing them to the human body. And a couple different truths are given from 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 that we have to understand. And again, if you want to take the time to read it later, but a couple different truths that we learn, that each member's function is different, isn't it? And we talked about how that, matter of fact, this goes back to one of the messages we preached about your or our, you personally and as a whole, our church, our ministry matters. what we do for the Lord matters. And every one of the members of the body of Christ function in different ways. You use your talents that God has given you for the Lord that may be different than someone else's talents, but because we all have different talents, we can come together as the body of Christ and get the complete work of God done, can't we? Not everybody in the church has a CDL, so not everybody's a bus driver. But we've got some bus drivers, don't we? Not everybody can sit down behind the piano and learn how to play the piano the way that Miss Dawn and Brother Dennis and maybe some of you other ones that might be hiding that talent. Anyone else like that? Like to say, hey, I can play the piano, I've just been hiding it. Okay, all right. So that they can get up here and they can play the piano, and man, I tell you, it sounds wonderful, doesn't it? Sounds wonderful as they use their talents for the Lord. Not everyone is going to get up here and perhaps sing a solo like Lainey did tonight. And by the way, some of us would say we're thankful that not everyone gets up here and sings a solo maybe perhaps. But you would say, I can't do what maybe others can do, but I can do my part. Maybe it's a job that's even behind the scenes. And you say it doesn't maybe get a whole lot of recognition. I'm not up front, maybe so to say. But that's the job I can do for the Lord. That's the job that I can get done. So every one of us in this body of Christ, we're all members of it, and we function in different ways. But can I give you another truth that is so important from 1 Corinthians chapter number 12? I wish we had the time to read it, but again, it's a very lengthy passage. Another truth that I think we can gain from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is this, that we all depend upon each other, don't we? So not only do we all have, as members, we function in different ways, we can use different talents for the Lord, but we're all depending upon one another. We're depending on the talents that God gives us to be able to get the complete work of the local church done. So we depend upon one another. And then can I say this, another great truth that we would have learned out of 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 about the body of Christ, is that each member's function is vital. So it's not only that they're different, but it's vital. Everything you do for the Lord is vital. As we come together and get all the entire work of the Lord done in the local church, whatever it is that you do for the Lord, it is so vital, the job that you have. And this statement kind of goes hand in hand with that one. Another great truth that we could learn from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is that every member's function also contributes to the success of the entire body. We want to function, we want to do what God has called us to do so that we as a church as a whole are able to see God's success in the local church. We want to see God's work done. And so we rely upon each other. And so you know, if you were to go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, it starts to set up some thoughts about the human body in comparison to the church, the body of Christ. And it starts to say, well, if the eye were to say to another part, I don't have any need of you, we wouldn't start saying things like that, would we? We wouldn't start saying, well, the arm, I really don't have need of the arm. If we would lose our arm, we would really know how important that was, wouldn't we? How vital the function of that one member is. And our eyes, how important they are. And so again, it's the illustration that God gives us of the body of Christ. Our ministry for the Lord is so important, isn't it? It's vital. And so we said all that because we were talking about the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and how He is the head of the church. We want to endear people to Jesus. Why? Because He's the head of the church. He established the church. We want to make sure people are introduced to Him and they fall in love with Him and they grow in their love for the Lord. But then the Bible also refers to the church in another way. It says the church is also a building. But here's what we want to understand about Christ. The Bible says that Christ is the cornerstone. Christ as the cornerstone of the building solidifies the entire foundation, doesn't he? So the foundation of this local church and another local church that's founded on the Lord Jesus Christ, it's solidified because Jesus is the foundation. So the church is a building, and the Bible refers to Jesus as the cornerstone. But that is probably contrary to some to what you've perhaps heard before. You've probably heard people say, well, the church is not the building, right? The church is not this place where we're actually meeting, but the church is the people within it, or those that are Christians, the family of God. And we would say that's true, because if we would go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, and again, we won't take the time to look at it, the Bible talks about the church being the building, but guess who's the building? We're the building, aren't we? The Bible says that we are the building. The Bible refers to us in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 as God's house. We are God's building. And guess who dwells in this house or this building? The Holy Spirit does, doesn't he? The Holy Spirit dwells inside of this building that is each and every one of us that are Christians inside this church. And he has built that building. So he dwells within us and he's built that building. He is the foundation. And our lives that are built upon the Lord Jesus Christ need to be lives that are used as instruments to bring him glory. So we are his building. So the church is a body, the body of Christ, or the church body. And Christ is the head. And the church is also a building in which Jesus is the cornerstone. But there's another way the church is described. That's why we want to endear people to Christ, because he's the head of the church. He's the cornerstone. But there's another way the church is described. It's also described as the bride, in which Christ is the bridegroom. The church is a bride, and Christ is the bridegroom. Again, another reason why we want to endear people to Jesus Christ, because he's the head of the church. He's the cornerstone of the building, and he is also the bridegroom when it comes to the bride of Christ. But there's another way the church is described. The church is also described as a flock. As a matter of fact, the Bible, many times in Scripture, you know that the Bible compares us to sheep. And so we are the flock of God, and the Bible refers to Christ as the shepherd, doesn't he? We're the sheep. He is the shepherd. So we are under the leadership of the shepherd. Now, I realize within a local church also you have the under-shepherd as the pastor is leading, and I understand that. But the church is the flock of God, of which Jesus Christ is the shepherd. So why do we want to endear people to Christ? Because he's the head of the body, because he's the cornerstone of the building, because he is the shepherd of the flock or the sheep, because he's the bridegroom of the bride of Christ. We want to introduce people to Jesus. We want to endear them to him. We want to make sure they fall in love with him and they grow in their love for the Lord as well. So number one, why do we want to endear people to Jesus? Number one, because he's the head of the church. I'm sorry, because he's established the local church. But I want to draw your attention, number two, to this tonight. Why do we want to endear people to Jesus? Because he purchased the church with his blood. He purchased the church with his blood. I want you to go to a verse. I know these are going to be familiar to you, but would you look at Acts chapter number 20 and down to verse number 28? I would imagine that these verses will be familiar to you. But Acts chapter 20, and I want us to look at verse number 28. Verse number 28. And it says this. Acts 20 verse 28 says, I'm in the wrong chapter. Give me a second. Acts 20, 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock. There we go. There's the word flock used to describe God's church. And he says, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Now watch this. To feed the flock of God. Now we know there's several passages of Scripture where it talks about the importance of inside a local church, the flock being fed. This is one of them. So we're to feed the flock of God as leaders, of course, in the church. And then it says, look at the end of verse 28, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Why do we want to endear people to Jesus? Why do we want this church to introduce people to Jesus and cause them to fall in love with Him and grow in their love for Him? Because He purchased this church with His precious blood. That's important to us, isn't it? That Jesus purchased this church with His blood. Look at what the Bible says in Ephesians. It gives us a thought about husbands and wives, and it gives a comparison here in Ephesians chapter number 5. And we'll look down at verse number 25. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 25. It says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church." Now, I would say husbands would acknowledge that that's a tall order, isn't it? To love our wife the way that Jesus Christ loved the church. How much did He love the church? Well, He explains it to us, doesn't He? Look at the end of verse number 25. "And He gave Himself for it." He loved the church so much that He gave Himself for it. Now, I would say that the husbands that are in here tonight, you would think of your wife that way. "I'd give my life for you. You know, I love you that much that I would give my life for you." But think about Jesus, how He gave His life for the church. And He says, "Husbands, you need to love your wives in that way." Why do we want to endear people to Christ? Well, because He established a church and because He purchased it with His own blood. He gave Himself for the church. But then there's another reason why we want to endear people to Jesus Christ, because Jesus is the one that equips the local church. He's the one that equips the local church. You know, we think about how that the Holy Spirit, and we talked about this last week, by the way. We talked about how that the Holy Spirit gives us the power to do what we're doing for Him. His presence is always here with us. And I think about how that He equips the local church to do the work of the ministry for Christ. Now, I don't want to get too far ahead where I go into some future purposes that I want to give you for the church. I don't want to go too far ahead. But I think about how with His Holy Spirit, though, He equips us to get the work done. He has provided for us spiritual authorities so that we can have the authorities we need to be able to keep the church functioning. He equips us that way. He equips the church with ordinances, doesn't He? So He gives some officers within the church that are pastors and servants in the church. But then He also equips us with the ordinances that we're able to have as a church family. Then we're able to have that ordinance of baptism, where we see folks come forward and trust Christ as their Savior, and they want to follow the Lord in baptism. He's equipped the local church so that we can experience those ordinances, hasn't He? He's equipped the local church so that we can be able to partake of the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper, like we did back in the early part of August. He equips us with that, doesn't He? And so that's why we want to endear people to Jesus Christ, because He is enabling this church to keep going. He's equipping us, isn't He? But then I want to give you one more, and it's going to go back to a verse that we already read, and I told you I was going to come back to this. And then we're going to put this message on pause, because we're now going to have a part three, because I'm not quite done yet, but I did want to give you this one tonight. But let's look at Colossians chapter 1, and let's notice again a verse that we read. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 18, the Bible says this: "And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence." He must have first place. Why do we want to endear people to Jesus? We've already talked about it. We want to endear people to Jesus because of the fact that He's established a church. He's given His life for it. He equips us to continue doing what we're doing. And so our goal when we endear people to Jesus in our own lives and in the lives of those who we minister here in our church is that He might have the preeminence. He might have first place. I heard it said this way once, and I think it's so true, that if He is not Lord of all, then He's not Lord at all. He needs to be Lord of all, doesn't He? Because if He's not Lord of all, He's not Lord at all. And He needs to have first place, doesn't He? He needs to have the preeminence in our church. And one of the purposes that we would say our church is built around is the fact that we want to endear people to Jesus so that He has the preeminence. He gets first place. Now tonight, we're going to draw this message to a close. And I my challenge for you as we're talking about the mission of our church, one of the things that would be your responsibility, or at least I believe it this way, that would be your responsibility as a member of our church here at Victory Baptist Church is to be able to follow and go along with, obviously, the mission of your church. And so I hope as we're establishing this in these messages, as we're preaching about our mission matters, that you are, as a member of our church, believing that Jesus, or God, excuse me, ought to be exalted as the one true and living God. We want to follow what we would say is our purpose of our church. That you believe that it's true, that we ought to be evangelizing the entire world, and you are partaking in that. There's some way in which you are partaking in spreading the gospel around the world. Perhaps again by giving to worldwide missions, but then even having a personal outreach as well. And then I trust that you would feel that one of the purposes of our church ought to be to endear people to the Lord Jesus Christ. We want people to fall in love with the one who established the church, the one who purchased it with His blood, the one who ought to have the preeminence in our church, the one who equips us to do what we're doing, and the one who is one day going to come for His church, isn't He? He's going to call His church away. And so let's endear people to the Lord Jesus Christ. So maybe perhaps tonight when it comes to the purpose of our church, you'd like to maybe, as we'll have an invitation hymn in just a minute, maybe you'd like to just talk to the Lord about what way you could be a part in following this purpose that we've talked about over the last few Sunday nights. And we've got some more thoughts we'll give on this in the Sunday nights to follow here. But that you could just be a part of what we're doing when it comes to the mission of our church, the purpose, why we're doing what we're doing for the Lord. And so would you bow your heads and close your eyes, and maybe God has spoken to your